Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. This past week has been an amazing week as we have seen our nation, our president, and even both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, world leaders, and Christians from around the world give honor and pay their respects to the Reverend Billy Graham, who passed away at the age of 99 on February 21, 2018. There have been innumerable people worldwide who have been giving a tribute to Billy Graham and sharing their favorite memories and personal stories how this humble servant of God was used of the Lord to impact their life and even the lives of their families from generation to generation. I realized as I was watching the military procession and the service of Billy Graham lying in state at our nation's capital in the rotunda that I would be remiss if I didn't share my family's connective story, how our gospel tree roots, even down to our extended family today, has been impacted by the simple, spirit-filled gospel message that Billy Graham preached and proclaimed faithfully for over 80 years. My story, however, doesn't start with me. It begins, though, with my mother, Brenda Parcel, or at that time, Brenda Bishop. My mom grew up in a religious Christian home in Northwest Ohio, where she had always heard about the Lord and also about the Bible. She had gone to church her whole life. But after the death of her favorite aunt, she began searching to know the true and living God, which started her wondering how, too, she could become a Christian. She had seen something different in my aunt that my mom knew that she didn't have. So as a child, my mom began asking questions. So she started by asking her church leadership how to become a Christian. But she kept getting different answers that didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, and it felt like she was like jumping through hoops in order to become a Christian. She asked, "What do I need to do to become a Christian?" They responded, "Well, you need to get baptized." So she got baptized. "Well, what now?" she asked. "Well, you need to go through confirmation." So she did that. "Well, now what?" was her question. "Well, now, you just need to be good," she was told. Well, in her childlike mind, my mom thought, just be good? Well, how good? Where's the line at? How good do you have to be good enough to be a Christian? She also knew there was a fundamental flaw in this Christian prescription that she had been given. My mom knew deep within that she wasn't good, that she could be bad, and she could never be good enough on her own to be deserving of high and holy heaven if it was all up to her. Time passed. Life went on, and later life trials came that came crushing in like a big rock falling down upon her. Now married with two young children, her beloved father grew gravely ill of an incurable tumor deep inside his brain. Hemorrhaging became a way of life for him, moving him steadily to a decline of a loss of life, drip by drip and drop by drop. One night the life crisis came. Surely the doctor said that her father would not make it through the night. My mom went into the chapel at the hospital and pled with God, "God, I got to know that you are real. I have to know that there is a heaven, and I need to know that my dad is going to be there," she cried. A picture of the Lord Jesus hung on the wall with the light shining on it as if to say, "It's all about Jesus. He's the one that you need to talk to. It's Jesus that you need to know. To know Jesus is to know eternal life." A pulpit Bible was open at the front of the hospital chapel, turned to Psalm 8. My mom moved to the front and began reading the words from the psalm that spoke of God's love and care for His creation, for God had made man just a little lower than the angels, and all of life, it was teaching, was under God's sovereign domain. She was comforted in knowing that not only did God know all things, but also that God loved and cared for her too, including her dying dad. Peace welled up within her, and she was able to go home and rest. The night passed, the day dawned, and her precious father had made it through the night with 10 pints of blood pumped in to sustain his life. Then all in God's providence, a transfer the next day to a special clinic in Cleveland helped save his life. It had been February 1972 when this life and soul crisis came to pass. Some months had now gone by as my mom became the main caregiver for her dad. He was now released from the hospital and he lived in our home where my mom could best care for him during the day. Sometime later that same year, somehow, someway, my mom heard about a Billy Graham crusade coming near her in Bucyrus, Ohio. She decided to go. She was compelled to go. She went to the crusade and heard the message that the Billy Graham associate preached. To this day, she cannot remember really anything what the evangelist said, but all she knew was that she needed to go down to the front and talk to someone. The song Just As I Am, of course, was being sung. As she moved down the aisles and made her way down to the front of the stage, a counselor, one of those that had been trained, began talking to her and said, "Do you want to become a Christian?" the counselor asked. "Well, I am a Christian," my mom said. "Okay, well, do you want to rededicate your life then?" responded the counselor. "I am dedicated," my mom declared. What the counselor put down on the card that day, my mom has no clue, but the counselor decided to give her a booklet written by Billy Graham. My mother read the book from cover to cover, answered all the questions, and sent it to Billy Graham's infamous address, Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the only address that you need. As Mom continued to read and study, another book was sent, then another, then another. There were 4 books sent in all, and one of those books went with my mom one evening to a very special place, to her workplace in a hospital where she was an obstetrics nurse in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. "God told me," she said, "to put that book in my purse and bring it with me to work," which I thought was crazy, she said, "because I never have time to read. We're always so busy." That night was a night like no other, either before or since, she said. Not one baby cried in the newborn nursery. Not one mother came in for delivery. And not one mother pulled their hospital bed cord and said they even wanted anything. What to do? So much time on her hands in the dead of night. But my mom's heart was not dead. God was making it come alive and giving to her a hunger and a deep desire to know him and to know eternal life by my mom knowing the only true and living God and his only son that he had sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Take the book out and read," the Lord seemed to say. So she did. She read the simple plan of salvation right there in the nurse's station as God did his spiritual surgery and his newborn delivery work in her own soul. She read the sinner's prayer, and that night in the hallowed hallway of an austere hospital, my mom placed her faith alone in Christ alone, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah! Amen! Now she understood the gospel that she had never understood before. Her faith did not rest on what she did or didn't do or would ever do, but in solely trusting in and resting in Christ's righteousness alone and what Jesus had already done for her. "It is finished," is what Jesus had said on the cross. There were no more works required for salvation that she must do. Jesus had done it all. Jesus, God's Son, lived a perfect life, filling up all righteousness for us on our behalf, and then Christ willingly, out of love for the Father and love for us, his people in the world, gave his life, spilling his precious lifeblood, died on the cross in payment for our sin, and then arose again on the third day, just like the scriptures said. The promise of eternal life is now ours. It was now my mom's, not because of her works or of our works, but all because of Christ's work for us on our behalf. Light had now entered my mom's soul, the glorious gospel light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That night in the newborn baby hospital wing, my mom became alive to God and was born again, not in her own flesh or by her own will, but she was born from above because the work of the Holy Spirit in drawing her to Christ. Looking back, my mom saw that her coming to Christ was not dependent upon anything that she had done, but it was all because of what the Lord Jesus had done every step of the way from beginning to end, for salvation is of the Lord. Now my mom couldn't keep this new birth news and her faith alone in Christ news all to herself. She decided to talk with her still sick father, and to her surprise, he told her that he had believed in Christ years ago, but had never told her that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. But now her dad began to talk more openly about his faith in Christ to others, and through his witness, others came to Christ, and also some of his children came to Christ, including my mom's sister, my aunt, who believed in Christ during the same time as well. But my mom didn't stop there. She talked to her husband, my dad, and to her second shock, she found out that he too had trusted in Christ when he was a boy at a Christian heritage camp, but he had never told her either. About a year later, my grandpa, my mom's dad, did pass away, but even through his death, God was at work in someone else's heart and the life of a little 3-year-old girl, and that little girl was me. Through my grandpa's death, I began to ask questions, searching for answers. Where's grandpa? Are you my grandpa? Where's grandpa? Grandpa's in heaven? Where is heaven? How do you get to heaven? About the same time in 1973, my mom was burdened in her heart with a troubling thought and also with a burning zeal and passion. She thought, why am I just now hearing the gospel in my late 20s when I had searched for the truth about Jesus when I was a child and nobody told me? Lord, she prayed, someone has to tell the children about you now, not later. Just 2 weeks later, after she prayed that prayer to the Lord, a friend came and knocked on my mom's door and invited her to come to a child evangelism fellowship teacher training class that they were putting together in the Northwest Ohio area. There was a missionary named Margaret Ann Bash who worked with Child Evangelism Fellowship overseas in Austria, but she was now back in Ohio to care for her parents and was on furlough. Margaret Ann lived just 4 miles down the road. She already knew both of my parents, and she had actually gone to school with my dad and his sister. While back in the States, Margaret Ann wanted to stay busy in ministry, so she did two things. She started a weekly teacher training class to train people how to share the gospel and lead children to Christ, and she also started a weekly Good News Club for children in their area in her home. You could probably guess the end of the story from here. Yes, my mom took part in that training faithfully for 2 years, attending classes every week, and then eventually she became a CEF volunteer teaching Good News Clubs in the public schools and in homes and in churches. My sister and I, at the young ages of 3 and 7 years of age, for a whole year or more, were part of that very first Good News Club held in that area in Forest, Ohio. Every week we heard the gospel heralded to us in Margaret Ann's home through the CEF songs, the Bible lessons, and my favorite, the missionary stories. A year later, when I was 4 years old, one Sunday on the way back from church, my mom said she wanted to talk with me and asked my dad and my sister to step out of the car and to go into the house, and she asked me to come up to the front seat and to sit beside her as she began to talk with me. That day, right there in our driveway, facing our yellow farmhouse and yellow garage with white trim, my mom asked me if I understood I was a sinner, and if I believed in the Lord Jesus, that he died on that cross for me and rose again. That Sunday afternoon, at the tender age of 4, I placed my faith in Christ alone, believing in him as my Lord and Savior. I remember talking to Jesus that day. I told Jesus that I believed in him, and I thanked him for what he had done on the cross for me. And I asked him to forgive me of my sin and claimed his promise that I was now his child and would one day live with him forever in heaven. Another hallelujah. Amen. The ongoing story and the interconnective tissue of the layers of the gospel proclamation in my family are continuing on and are spreading ever outward to others, Lord willing, down even to this day. The gospel of Christ has now rippled down through my whole family, who all know the Lord and are walking with Christ and serving Christ, including my sister and her family in Colorado, my brother and his family in Ohio, and my family here in Illinois. Each one, including our spouses and our children, has their own personal testimony of their faith in Christ and their own salvation story, how the Lord took hold of them and brought them to an understanding of the truth of the gospel that's all by faith alone, by God's grace alone, and in Christ alone. Last year in 2017, my boys and I, along with my mom and dad, were on a family vacation, had an opportunity to visit the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the way to Child Evangelism Fellowship's 80th anniversary celebration and international conference. Not only was this a special time together for all of us, it brought back so many memories to my mom. She could not help but to retell her salvation testimony linked through Billy Graham and what an impact he had made on her life, not only with her salvation, but also her spiritual growth as a new believer in Christ back then, as well as her life's passion to tell the children, the future generations, about the Lord Jesus. That day, my mother must have told her testimony to numerous workers all over the Billy Graham Center, but more importantly, she told it again to us, to my dad and I, and to my children, her grandsons. The psalmist declares in Psalm 145, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of this glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. While we were at the Billy Graham Center that day, there was a particular Billy Graham quote and plaque on the wall that my mom wanted me to take a picture of, and she wanted me to share it one day with others. Billy Graham once said, "I am only one in a chain of men and women God has raised up through the centuries to build Christ's church and take the gospel everywhere. Then the wall display went on to go up the gospel tree life of Billy Graham, and this is what it said. A Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball won a shoe clerk to Jesus, whose name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody traveled to England and awakened the heart of a young pastor named F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer became one of the great Bible expositors, came to the USA, and preached on college campuses. He was used to convert a student to Christ named Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman attended one of Moody's meetings in Chicago and became D.L. Moody's co-worker. Wilbur Chapman employed an ex-baseball player as his assistant named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday became a great evangelist and preached in Charlotte, North Carolina at a meeting organized by the Billy Sunday Layman's Evangelistic Club, later called the Christian Businessmen's Club. The Christian Businessmen's Club invited an evangelist named Mordecai Ham to Charlotte, North Carolina to preach a revival. Mordecai Ham preached in the tent meeting where Billy Graham was saved. And the family gospel tree storyline goes on and on from there, with eternity only knowing the end. And one of those connecting stories to the same gospel tree is my mother's story, and now the interconnecting story of our entire family rippling down and outward from generation to generation. It's an amazing thing to see what God uses to draw us to himself, whether it's a whole chain of events and persons culminating in a prayer-filled tent meeting where Billy Graham heard the gospel and believed on Christ at the age of 16 in Charlotte, North Carolina, or in my mom's case, an illness of her loved one, an open Bible turned to Psalm 8, a renowned evangelist named Billy Graham, a confused counselor who didn't know which box to check on a card, and a little book written by Billy Graham explained the gospel that God put on my mom's heart to take with her to work at a hospital one evening, even though she didn't have time to read, or so she thought. But God is not only working outside of us to make a way for us to hear the truth and down through the ages and through his people and his servants as they proclaim the truth, God is also at work within us to open our hearts and to open our closed ears and blinded eyes to receive and respond to the truth of his word. As Romans 10:17 says, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Ultimately, it is the Lord, through his word and the work of the Holy Spirit, who makes us alive and births within us a desire to know him and makes it even possible for us to respond to him by giving to us, his people, the gift of repentance and faith, so that all by God's grace alone we can trust by faith alone in Christ alone for our salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If we said it once, we will say it again here as we close, because it bears repeating again and again for all eternity, that salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and may we, just like my mom, be ever faithful and unashamedly declare God's salvation and his faithfulness to others, including the future generations, the children who need to know.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me.